All right. Well, here we go again. Murder Gymnastics, a wrestling podcast. I'm Mr. Meanie, otherwise known as Carl. I do that backwards every time. It doesn't fucking matter. And with me, as always, is my buddy Paul. How's it going? Do you know what your name is?
Goodbye. I mean, hello, if we're doing everything backwards. Whatever.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's like Twin Peaks over here.
And everyone's unfollowing the podcast. That's it. It's over. It's over. We just lost our whole audience. That's fine. How's it going, man?
That's going great. How about you?
I'm tired today. It's just one of those weeks. Weeks I've had enough.
In Alberta, it's a short week because we had a holiday Monday, and I don't know. I always find that short weeks are a lie because it's like they try to cram 5 days of work into 4 days. So it's like better have enjoyed that weekend because you are gonna pay.
Yeah. We've just been, I'm amazed I'm here to play because we can't seem to stop Diablo 4 right now. So I'm amazed I have time to, record a podcast and not dungeon crawl and smash demons. That game is so fun. We are just having a blast, but it also sucks all time out of the universe. Cause when we're like, we finish a meal and we kind of look at each other like, we could Diablo for a little bit, and it just goes on, and all of a sudden 4 hours go by. It's like, Jesus. Awesome. That's why I'm tired. So cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Good to see you.
What's in your glass?
Same as always. Whiskey. I'm drinking some 12-year Canadian. So
nice. Yeah. I'm drinking some Tullamore Dew's whiskey.
Oh, man. You know, last week we were talking about entrance themes and what we would use as our entrance music. I think mine's already changed. That new Kitty song is so good, and I was listening to today, and I actually pictured like coming out of Gorilla, the fireworks going off. I'm like, shit, Eyes Wide Open, I think is what it's called. Yeah, that's my new temporary theme song. I'm sure it'll change again, but
I'm sure. Well, and it's like after we got talking, it just gets your wheels turning. I'm like, you know, you think I should have said kind of like George and Seinfeld, I should have said Jerk Store. It's like just, you know, I'm such a massive Skindred fan. I'm like, why did I not say give me that boom?
Ah, yes. Well, because that's going to be the theme song of our wrestling show, our actual program that we do someday in my imaginary world where you and I are making our own promotion. That's our opening show. Like, remember the old Raw is War opening with all the explosions and the fireworks? We have that music playing. It'll be fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I am all over that.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we could talk about some wrestling. I watched a lot today because I had to catch up on a bunch of stuff. So I watched TNA today. But I'll jump back in time to like WWE right now. It's just smoking. It's like last year at this time, it was so good with like Sami Zayn and like the Bloodline War and all that stuff. And now we're like a year later and it's just as good. And they've flopped, like all the stories are different than they were last year. Yet we're still just like The Rock. Holy shit. Did you see his promo that he did? The Rock came out.
I did not.
Oh my God. It's like 1997 all over again. The Rock came out and was tearing the candy asses up in the crowd. Like the crowd was cheering him for just a moment. And then he started just insulting the hell out of them in the way only he can. And it was like, and he was, whatever they would react, he would react and just keep nailing them. And it was like, by the end, they were booing him so loud. It was fantastic. I'm like, heel Rock is back. Yeah, it was really great to watch. He is the master, and it's been so long. He's been just this, I kind of fell off him because he's in a world that I don't watch the Fast and the Furious movies and all that shit. Like unfortunately, his movie career is not my cup of tea. Like people always talk about action heroes and they talk about like the old days of Schwarzenegger and all these people. And I'm like, yeah, but Schwarzenegger and Stallone had movies I liked. And unfortunately with The Rock, like there's not many other than Jumanji, because I like both of those movies. But other than those, it's hard for me to find any movies of his that I like. It's not necessarily his fault. I just don't like what he chooses most times.
Yep.
So,
well, one of my favorite Rock movies, The Rundown.
Oh, I never saw that actually, The Rundown.
Really?
Yeah, I never saw it.
Everything you wanted, The Rock just being this all out, like, you know, tough guy, but doesn't take himself seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Really great action sequences. Fuck yeah, I love that.
Doesn't have it in his contract that he never loses a fight. Seriously, nope. Like, come on,
In fact, he loses a fight to Stifler. Spoiler alert for a movie that's like 23 years old. But yeah, no, this is before everybody was super, super serious about all that bullshit.
But now, so now flashing back to wrestling, he's back. And I have no idea if this was the plan when he first was introduced, like a, you know, a couple months ago. And I don't care. So many people online are over analyzing wrestling here. It's, they're writing a story right now and he's working it with the crowd. And I don't give a shit when they came up with the idea. I don't care if it happened 2 weeks ago. I don't care. It's super fun right now seeing The Rock get involved. I still think, and Cody is so over, it's just stupid. So the people are so behind him. You know, his story, it's kind of funny. I kind of hope that he loses that Mania, because the people are going to lose their minds if that's not the moment that his story gets resolved. Like, yeah. You don't get that. Like, sometimes AEW does that. They do the fan service thing, which is great. Mm-hmm. But you can't just always give people what they want when they want it. I think that it's more fun to dangle dangle the little carrot and then zip it back and like surprise everybody on, you know, the next night or something. So he probably will win at Mania. He'll get the belt. Everyone go, yay, the story's done, and we can move on with our lives. But I kind of hope that it's a oh fuck, people are gonna loot. The internet will just die. It'll just melt. If well, he loses that Mania.
As far as storyline goes, who cares when they decided it? Like, the smart thing to do is to pivot to how the crowd is reacting. So
yeah,
if the plan wasn't that he was going to be heel, but the reaction to him is negative because Cody's so over, isn't it smart to pivot to him being the heel? Kind of like that match against Hogan, where that wasn't the plan, how they wrestled that match and they adjusted to the situation.
Yeah, it's almost like that's how professional wrestling works. Isn't that professional wrestling? Like, didn't you just describe the entire sport right there? So
isn't that reading the crowd?
Yeah. So anyway, I can't wait to see how that resolves itself. It's great having The Rock back. He was wearing like a vest that looked like the vest he would have worn in 97, the same kind of sunglasses. Yeah, it was just all so obnoxious, and it was really fun to see. There was a banger of a match to open Raw this week, Drew McIntyre and Cody. I didn't see it coming that they would open with a match like that. It was just the Raw logo came up, they went crowd cheering, and out walked Drew and out walked Cody. Was like, holy fuck. And it was like 25 minutes and it was fucking amazing. Great match. So that that was awesome. I even heard on We Watch Wrestling, Maddie actually was praising, he praised that match and he praised Raw ahead of Dynamite. I lost my mind. I was like,
oh wow,
wait a second. WWE actually is like impressing Maddie right now. So anyway, to give some love to our boys over there on We Watch Wrestling.
I love when shows do that where they just kind of drop you in. It's not really a lot of buildup. It's just bell rings, here we go. Because
me too,
when we were praising NWA for their pivot to their new style, a lot of the times it would be the camera would fade in, there'd be two people in the ring and away you go. Like, you were just instantly in the thick of things.
I actually prefer a match to open than a promo to open. And, you know, maybe sometimes it's good to do someone in the ring or someone walking down with a mic and engaging the crowd. But I much prefer a show opening with a big match, gets everyone going screaming, and then you can get into storytelling and whatever the hell else you want to do. So I'm the same. Yeah. I think it's great to open with a just take your two best people and just throw them out there and get the crowd going right away. We got Elimination Chamber this weekend, which is in Perth, Australia. So we won't be watching that when it airs, because it's at 5 a.m. or something. So Saturday morning at 5 a.m. So we're going to be waking up tomorrow or on Saturday and having breakfast and watching some wrestling, I think. So
not the worst way to kick off your day.
And like, we did that episode, we talked about gimmick matches, and we had talked about how like I get a little tired of too many weapons and all that kind of stuff. But the one thing I don't get tired of is giant, crazy sci-fi looking structures that people get thrown around inside with Hell in the Cell and Elimination Chamber. Yeah, all day. I can just give it to me all day. No problem there. Elimination Chamber is the weirdest match. Like, it looks so crazy, but it's so much fun. And my wife loves it too. So I can't wait for the chamber. That's going to be fun.
I've never actually seen an Elimination Chamber match. I've played them in wrestling video games. So yeah, I know what they're all about.
Yeah.
I've never actually seen one live. So
yeah, they're fun.
That would be interesting. That'd be fun.
LA Knight is in there, so he's gonna be in one of them pods. So I don't really have any idea where they're going with anything. So I don't know, like, who's gonna win this match. Like, sometimes you have like a feel for like where they're going with the story. I have no clue where they're going with this particular story. Everyone in there has a potential for story. So, hey, tell me the story. That's all I care about. Just tell me the story.
Yeah, just park the brain and let the story be told.
Yeah, I know one person that's no longer in the picture for WWE stories and matches is poor Shotzi Blackheart. She tore her knee MCL, I think it was this week, so she's out
Oh
9 months.
no.
Yeah, it was on. She was guesting on NXT, just probably just to get some hype and help somebody out down there. And a non-contact, she jumped from the ring apron down to the floor and just landed and crumbled. And I was like right on live TV. I was like, oh no. Oh no, you could just see it. It was like the announcer's like, oh, she's favoring her knee. And I'm like, I don't think so. And all of a sudden they were going to commercial. I'm like, oh, that's never a good sign. And
Yeah,
so,
we've watched enough sports to know that like those non-contact injuries can be
oh,
brutal. Like
the
we saw one
worst.
happen in the Super Bowl where one of the players was running off the sideline to come into the game and fell to his knees.
Yeah.
It's yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, so hopefully she recovers speedy. I know it's 9 months, so wishing her well, and also wishing Booker T well. I know I was kind of celebrating that he wasn't working on NXT. He's because he had surgery and he's not doing great, so now I feel
Oh
terrible.
no.
So now I hope he comes back, and yes, he can go back to NXT. That's fine. It's his job. So yeah, I don't know. They've been keeping it quiet what the issue is, but hopefully he's fine. It's hopefully it's not serious, but that was the
That's
actual
scary.
reason that he was gone. So yeah.
That's scary because, yeah, surgeries and overall, like, human health is a precursor to who my push at the end of the week is going to be for. A bit of a wrestling legend that's had some significant health issues as of late, shall we
Ah
say.
yes, ah
So.
yes. So, later on this episode, we're going to talk about our two WrestleMania matches down our road to WrestleMania that we're taking a deep dive into to see if they still stand the test of time. That'll be coming up a little later, but we'll finish our chat about what we've been watching first. That's about all for WWE. I know you weren't watching anything, so I can pretty much end that segment any damn time I want, which I think right
Although I
now.
gotta start paying attention because I am actually going to attend the first night of WrestleMania at Hitman's Bar.
Oh,
So
you are going, eh?
I decided, you
Nice.
know, before the big Netflix deal hits and I'm just gonna be lazy and watch it in the comfort of my own home. It's kind of like the last hurrah to go out and experience it in more of a social setting. So we'll see. I'll watch night two at
Sweet.
home still, but yeah, I figured just kind of that last hurrah trip down memory lane and how watching it in the Hitman bar,
Oh, that's
it's kind of
perfect.
perfect,
Oh,
surrounded
yeah.
by all the memorabilia like heavyweight title belts and everything. Like, yeah, it's the perfect setting. If I'm gonna get dragged out of the house to watch it, that's gonna be where it's gonna be.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad because then we can discuss the matches and it won't just be you listening to me tell stories. We can bounce back and forth. So that's good. No, I like it. I
Yeah.
love it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
TNA. Yeah, you watched Impact last week, right?
I did.
That was a good show. Oh yeah. So I know PCO can be a lot, but I love him, Big Frankenstein. But they finally paired him up with somebody, Khan, because that was the guy we couldn't think of last time. Khan
Yes.
is a giant man. And so these two big guys, that's how you'd set up a great feud, is to have two giant monsters, basically a kaiju and a Jaeger, if you want to go Pacific Rim style, a big battle of two monsters. And I think they're going to be fighting at the pay-per-view this weekend or tomorrow. Oh, shit, that's tomorrow. That I love this. I love seeing two big guys that are going to be smashing each other. I think they actually really complement each other with their strength moves and their intimidating looks. So that's got me really excited. I'm stoked about that. I'm sure we'll see a moonsault or two from PCO.
I'm enjoying them too. As much as I kind of ragged on is like overly elaborate entrance. It's kind of kitschy and fun, and yeah, it works for what he's doing. So I mean, I will forgive him that. And yeah,
If it was
it's
an entire wrestling show where all of the people were different types of monsters and they all had to be resurrected in different
yeah.
ways, yeah, that would get really old fast. I could see
Well, and I also feel
that.
like I'm a bit of a hypocrite because Undertaker had a long ass entrance of just, you know, that very moody thematic music for a lot of the time, and I didn't ever bitch about that, so I'll just eat crow on this one.
Shit, some of Undertaker's WrestleMania entrances, I swear they took like 12 minutes for him to get down to the ring, get his hat off.
Yeah,
Just
exactly.
and then like a 6 minute match, and you're like, wait a minute, it was a 12 minute entrance. What the fuck? Come on, Jesus. What the hell? Oh, this is a funny standout thing from TNA lately. Kushida, you're getting used to these guys, but if I say the name Kushida, do you know what I'm talking about now?
Yeah,
The
he's the Back to
time,
the Future guy.
yeah. What is with his hair? So I know this is really random and not very wrestling, but that is the weirdest hairstyle I've ever seen. I don't understand that haircut at all.
Maybe. Actually, it's funny. I wonder if that's new, because when I was watching before, I always thought of him as the Back to the Future guy, because his special move is called the hoverboard.
Hoverboard lock,
yeah. He wears the Back to the Future kind of iridescent hat.
Checks his time when he comes in the ring.
I've never noticed the haircut until this week, so I'm kind of wondering if it's a new thing.
That should be one of my tap outs, actually, is Kushida's hair. I should actually include that at the end. It's bad. It's just bad. I'm on board with the strange, it's not a presidential campaign storyline, but Mustafa's he wants to be the leader of the X division, right?
Yeah,
it's actually being positioned that way. I get why they're doing it now, and I'm actually like, I don't know how far they can go with it, but right now, and I'm just looking forward to getting, like, seeing him in the ring. It is bizarre that his first match is a title match. I think that's strange writing, but I don't know why some brand new wrestler gets an automatic title shot at the pay-per-view. I'm like, that, if I was the other talent on the roster, I'm like, that, I'd be a little pissed off at that, but we'll see. Well,
and I remember one of the things that I glommed onto that Nick Aldis said back in his NWA days is when Mike Knox attacked Trevor Murdoch at some like fan signing, so he got a title shot, and he's like, so that's all you have to do to get a title shot is attack the champion at an autograph signing and then you get pushed to the front of the line. That's how we're doing this. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty bullshit storytelling.
You have to be very careful how you do that, right? Like, I see that all the time in wrestling, where like someone comes to the ring and like starts, the promo is just lipping off the champion, and they argue back and forth, and then they demand a title shot, and then they get one. The champ goes, "Fine, let's do it." It's like, wait, whoa, 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 slow down. You can't just have the champ handing out title shots. It like that just devalues the whole process. You can't do that.
And then you got Tony Schiavone putting his finger in his ear, and been approved by Tony Khan.
Yep, Tony Khan's approved that. Like, it's like, Jesus Christ, guys.
yeah. No, I agree. And it does make you appreciate what they're doing with Adam Copeland and your boy Dolph Ziggler in TNA. I forget in the moment what he's called.
Nick Nemeth.
But yeah, it makes you appreciate that they're obviously high profile guys, but they're working their way through the roster that you just assume they are going to get a title shot. But yeah, they're not just walking in the company and getting a title shot.
Exactly. I really think that's important. If you want to create the mystique of these championships, if you want to create this like Roman Reigns kind of situation where he barely wrestles, and when he does, it's a title shot against someone that's had to fucking run through fire and jump through, you know, traps just to get to the title shot. That's how it should be. No one should just get handed a title shot ever.
Yeah. But I agree. I would say that watching this week, seeing his promos work out a little bit better, it's like, okay, yeah, wanting to be the leader of the X division. Although I will say, I don't think they're being very user friendly to new viewers, and that, what is the X division? Can you tell me how that's different?
I agree with you. TNA so far has very much been presented like it's to fans of TNA already. It really doesn't. And maybe that's what they're going for. They weren't trying to be like, hi, we're brand new. I think they're going for this has been established for a long time, come on in and join. So, they know we can Google it if we really want to find out what's going on. I don't really get at all what the X Division means. I don't understand what the fuck
I'm thinking, is that their cruiserweights? Is that like their intercontinental? And all you need is one line to say X Division is this.
I feel
especially
like we need
a major rebrand, right? Yeah. Where you're just gonna assume that you do have new eyeballs on your product.
Clearly, this is something we need to look into, because the women's division has an X division as well, right?
Yeah,
because they had that crazy match where the X division,
the
match
Ultimate
where,
X,
yeah.
But I think that was just different? A match type, because the thing was suspended from the middle of the ring in the form of an X.
A little confusing to have an X division and a match involving X. Everyone's just got an X. What the fuck is going on here?
And it's likely me that's misunderstood it, and I just don't get it. And maybe maybe it's me drinking rum and watching it Friday nights after a long week. I don't know.
Stop cutting them slack. It's not you. It's them.
But yeah, I would say so far, that's the only criticism I have, is that there's certain things that I feel like just doesn't have to be a long explanation, just one line just to catch people up.
No, I'm the same. I agree. Who did I see today that I was?
Crazy Steve.
Crazy Steve. Crazy Steve. Yes. I really like Crazy Steve. I did.
Me
like,
too.
It surprises me because when I first saw him, I thought he was going to bother me at that pay-per-view. The first thing I watched for TNA, I was like, oh, who's this guy? No, it turns out there's something about this. I think it was his name that I heard right away. And I was like, that's kind of a weird name. It, no, it actually doesn't matter at all. It actually kind of strangely suits his bizarre gimmick. And of course, he has my finish move, the distract the ref and hit them with the title belt. That's literally my fucking finish move. Since I was 12 years old, that's been my finish move. Distract the ref, hit him with the title belt. I'm like, this guy's my favorite wrestler. I love this guy.
He had me hooked right away. I don't remember him from the pay-per-view, but he made an impression this week, like just coming down to the ring with that odd mask. I'm like, oh, hello. Yeah. And then the way he didn't just like take it off, it's like peeling it off backwards just to reveal his face. And I'm like, oh, hello, you know how to make an entrance. Again, I don't know what the digital media championship is and what it requires to actually get a title shot, but I'm at least intrigued now.
Like, what does the intercontinental title mean? Like, do you have to go to different continents to defend it? No. Well, so
yeah,
I think,
fair enough.
Right. I think it's just the name of the belt. It's an odd one. Like when they used to have the TV title was like, you had to be defended on television and they kind of let that slide. Like all those names don't really mean anything once they, once they get going, even like when there's there's a light heavyweight title. And then a guy comes down to challenge for it. And he's clearly 225 pounds. And it's like,
oh, light he can't wait for the fight. He can't wait.
Just before, drop 5 pounds.
Yeah. But yeah, Crazy Steve's got two new fans in us for sure.
Yeah. And the other thing that made me that cracked me up this week was Eddie Edwards, his finish move. They were like, oh, here comes the Boston Knee Party. I just, the name itself. I didn't actually think the move itself was all that great, but the name.
Well, and that just kind of harkens back to Mick Foley and Sweet Shin Music. That Sweet always Shin music. Cracked me.
Yep.
That always cracked me up too. I love a clever pun. And hey, we got the second match of that best of three between the Grizzled Young Vets and ABC.
So yeah, it was good too. That was a good match.
It was a good match. And yeah, they've done a really good job in that both matches have been very different.
Yep.
Which is what you want, because you don't want to feel like, oh, it's a best of three and all three matches are, you know, 80% the same. So they've done good job of switching it up and having a different feel. There is one match left in this one. So each team's 1-1. So there is the rubber match still to go. So
yeah, exactly. So I got nothing else for TNA, unless you do.
Nope. Oh, I just said I'd like to see more of Simon Gotch. So
you'll see him at the pay-per-view because that's a good match. He is wrestling somebody awesome. Nope, I forget who it is. Oh, it's your guy that you don't like with the wrestling helmet thing.
Oh, Josh Alexander?
Yeah. So that should be a beauty. That should be really good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because as much as I don't like the headgear on Josh Alexander, he's a good wrestler. Like, he clearly held the title and was deserving of it. So I look forward to that.
Oh, we were making fun of Frankie Kazarian last week and bashing his promo he was doing, but I really like him as a wrestler. I like his entrance. I like in ring. I like it, the way he wrestles. So it was just that promo. I didn't like the writing of it. It's not really his fault that, you know, he was just trying to quickly become a heel and he did. So it's fine. I can let that go. I don't want to make it sound like I don't like Frank Kazarian. Cause it turns out after this week, I'm like, no, I actually kind of like what he's doing. He's kind of like an aging, like he's an older wrestler who's got an attitude and entitlement issues. And I always, I love that kind of shit. So it's, it works for me. So.
Yeah, and I thought on him this week too, where I thought, okay, I will forgive him. Even the best of the best have a bad promo you know, like nobody's got 100% accuracy in that kind of thing. So, I agree. I appreciated him more seeing him in ring because I don't have the history with him as far as knowing his legacy, knowing what he's been through. So, I look forward to seeing more.
I'm getting put in the figure four leg lock by my cat right now. Oh my God, buddy. Cassian, he's such a heavy boy. He's such a heavy cat, and he has to be on your legs, and he doesn't care if you're comfortable. He will get so comfortable. And I'm like, why is my foot tingling? I'm like, oh, it's because my cat is literally literally crushing my leg right now. Hey, bud, this is the cat dad's portion of our podcast. Jesus, buddy.
Yeah.
That's okay, pal.
You might hear one of my cats howling later. They've been doing that lately. I no idea why.
There was no collision last week, so it makes our lives a little easier.
Yeah, we
collision
just have
though
one show to talk about.
it was okay. I'm gonna say that collision was a little underwhelming for me. It started super slow. I wasn't into it at all until Adam Copeland came out. So I thought it was a really snore start to that show. But when Adam Copeland came out, his promo was awesome. I thought it actually saved the whole thing for me. I really enjoyed it. And after that, there was like my match of the week, which is Brody King versus Mark Briscoe. I thought that match was fucking fantastic. That was
That
everything I
was
wanted out of
awesome.
that match. I enjoyed the hell out of it. We got our House of Black music. But yeah, no, that match was awesome. Like Briscoe takes way too many chances with some of his leaps. So, but it, I guess we're here for that. That's what we're watching him entertain us by being
Putting his
really
life
reckless.
on the line.
He's very reckless with some of that shit. He lands like on the floor on his back way too often, but hey, it's not my back, I guess. So.
No, and it is for our entertainment, but I cringe every time and get that kind of nervous twitch of like,
Oh yeah.
eww.
I think the Brody King went over on that one. I don't think, yeah, Briscoe lost that
Yeah,
match, I'm pretty sure.
yeah.
So, because it doesn't really, he doesn't need the win right now, whereas House of Black is hot, so they gotta keep winning. So yeah, I like that match. The show itself, yeah, like I said, was a little boring for me, but it wasn't a bad show. It just didn't really hold my interest all the time. But it can't
Yeah.
always be a winner, so
No, and I agree. I mean, honestly, I don't even have any notes about matches. The only notes I have from the one collision I watched was a comment from Nigel that really cracked me up. He actually had a couple that just had me howling. So I think I was more into the commentary than I was in the matches. But yeah, it was during the Tony Storm match, and he's jabbing at Tony Schiavone, obviously, and he's like, Tony, look, they're actually cheering for you. And he's like, oh no, I think that's for Miss Storm in the ring. He's like, ah, yeah, typical American wit. They do teach sarcasm over here, right? That is, they do have sarcasm in America.
Oh Nigel. Oh Nigel. He loves
Yeah.
Tony Storm. He loves that character. Like the way he's supposed to, obviously, being the heel announcer. So I her, when she was lying in the ring on her back at the end with the mic, just doing her promo, like lying staring up at the roof. I've never seen anybody do that before. I thought that was
Nope.
fantastic. It went on almost too long, and yet it was fine. I was like, how is this working right now? But it was. So
Yeah,
he's
no.
still killing with that character. Sometimes I imagine if you're in the arena without the black and white filter, it must look a little ridiculous, some of the stuff. But when you put the black and white filter on for us at home, it's amazing.
It
So
totally sells it.
yeah, it some of it would just be someone dancing around, prancing at, it might look ridiculous. I don't know, because I haven't seen it. I've only seen it the way it's supposed to be seen properly on TV in yeah, properly on TV in black and white for those kids out there that can imagine watching all of your stuff black and white.
Like we watched the moon landing in 1969, damn it. I don't disagree that yeah, there seems to be a little bit of lack of charisma, a little bit of lack of really kind of, I don't know that it's continuity, but it's like it's an enjoyable show. It's just not the bangers that I guess we're used to, and maybe that's some of the talent that's not on the
I
show.
definitely think it's there's injuries right now and a few key people that are away that really tie everything together. But there's also, like, to me, there's just a lack of interesting stories going on in AEW right now. They have good matches going on. So when they chuck two guys in the ring or two girls in the ring, yeah, it's usually a great match. But overall story arcs that I'm like glued to, I could name five from WWE right now, and I can't think of a single one from AEW. So
Yeah.
they and there are stories, but like I know you were trying to get onto Roderick Strong. I like Roddy, but I don't really like any of the stories they've had for him yet. They're not particularly interesting. The FTR story right now is not, it's just a typical I'm gonna fight you Like they just came out, hey, let's get in a fight. I'm like, that's not an interesting story. You guys are just walking out, challenging someone to a fight. Yeah, it's wrestling. We get it. That's what everybody does. Like that's not an original story. Hey, do you want to fight? Sure. Well, I guess that's a wrestling match, but there's not really anything going beyond that that leads to promos and backstage stuff. And the, next week on, I'm not feeling that like, ooh, what's coming up next week? For this particular story, we need MJF back. And we need him back fast.
and Ricky Stark. And
Ricky Stark.
There's a few that, we were kind of blessed when we first started getting into Collision that, there was kind of the glut of stars. And part of that was them pushing the new show, probably.
But yeah, hopefully that means that lots of people will be back from injury soon. And I'm sure that'll, AEW is a product right now that everyone trusts. And, Mercedes, Sasha Banks, word is she's on her way there. We got Will Ospreay on his way there. It's not like they're in trouble. They're still having great pay-per-views, and the roster is loaded, and it's all going to work out once MJF being the leader of that company, he'll come back and it'll all feel normal again. But it needs something to keep people coming in. They got to do a little more than that, and they'll figure it. I think they'll make it work. Tony will pull his head out of his ass and get it get it back on track, I think so.
Or he'll get it back on track even with his head up his ass, one way or another.
It's Tony Khan. You just never know, right? So, I think that's it for wrestling I've watched. Unless you got anything else you need to check in there.
No, I think we've said about everything I needed to say about that, other than what's coming up.
Well, then it's time to jump on that road. The glorious road to WrestleMania, and talk about our first of six WrestleMania matches. So we are going back in time. Our first match, we are going back in time. Let's pull up my statistics. So we're going to 1987, March 29th, 1987, Pontiac Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan, in front of 93,173 people to watch what still for me is my favorite WrestleMania, even though if you're talking to a millennial, I'm sure boring old man and his old WrestleMania. I get it, because like wrestling is so different now. Even watching this, I can't imagine a young kid going back and watching this WrestleMania and getting much out of it, because it's like production value is nil, and
from the little tiny carts they have that look like little wrestling rings,
right?
That was the production value, was all
exactly
those little tiny carts.
And it's full screen, it's not widescreen, and it's not high definition, and it's such a different product back then that unless you were there and you experienced those WrestleManias at the time, I don't know if you're going to give a shit if you're 19 years old and you go back and watch that. I don't know. But like compared to last year's WrestleMania in LA, like Jesus Christ, like I wouldn't watch it either. Like last year's was such a show. It was so dramatic to watch. It pales in comparison. But for me, the nostalgia factor, holy fuck, just seeing hearing Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Body Ventura. So let's jump right into what,
That's who we grew up with on the mics, was Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Body Ventura, really, before Vince McMahon was sprinkled in from time to time, before we knew he was the fucking owner of the company.
Right.
But yeah.
But those two guys, so let's do this. So Macho Man, Ricky Steamboat is the match we're going to talk about. But for any match to be great, you need to have announcers that are amazing, that grab you. And those are, in my opinion, still the two, that's my favorite combination of all time, because they played off each other in a humorous way. Even when they were mad at each other, even when they were snarky at each other, it cracked me up every single time. And when Jesse would get all heated and Gorilla would just come back with like a funny one-liner, and that would make Jesse even madder. It was just, it's such a glorious thing. So it just warmed my heart to listen to those two. It made me so happy. I love that. So when the feed that you watched, did you get the little vignette beforehand with the story?
The build up for
right?
It.
Yep. So, it's even better nowadays when they do those, but I'm glad that even back then, if you have never watched anything of WrestleMania and you just tuned in to watch that match for 5 minutes, they go previously on and they show you what the fuck is going on. Like I got to watch that live, like on Saturday afternoon wrestling. Macho Man was my favorite guy. And I remember watching this feud happen, and kayfabe was kind of a thing still. And I was 13 years old, so I didn't really understand wrestling completely yet. I knew I loved it. That's all I knew. But as far as who was hurt, who wasn't, I wasn't really sure at that point. So when Ricky Steamboat got his throat over the railing and was choking, there was a part of me that wasn't completely sure that that wasn't real. But also I was 13 years old and I was celebrating that. So that's kind of like when you're that age, like you don't know what's going on in the world. I'm like, yeah, get him, kill that guy. No, obviously not. But like, I remember being like, I thought it was real. So that was a great feud week by week. I'll never forget watching one of the matches where Macho Man was in the ring and Ricky had been out for months. And all of a sudden his music hit and Ricky Steamboat came out. And I was legit worried. I was like stressed out because I'm like, oh God, because Macho Man was like the Calgary Flames to me. He was my favorite wrestler. And it was different when you're a kid. It's when you're an adult, you know what you're watching. You understand what you're watching. But when I was a kid, it was like cheering for your favorite sports team. So I was panicking. Oh no, here comes Ricky Steamboat. I had a poster of Ricky in my locker at work with a big red X over his face. Cause I'm like, I hate that guy. Like, how do you hate Ricky Steamboat? He's like the best baby face of all time. Right. But they just built that feud so well. And so leading to that match, like nobody knew that mid card, that was going to be, you know, spoiler, the match of the show, but it's still, to me, is the greatest match of all time. I'm so happy that it survived the test of time. That's the best wrestling match I've ever seen. Like, it still is the best wrestling match I've ever seen. So,
yeah, I agree. Everything from the atmosphere, like you said, setting the stage with them coming out on these little mini wrestling ring carts. Just the crowd was electric too.
Oh my God, right? That crowd.
Because the crowd, we've said it before, and I'll say it again, will make or break a show, because it doesn't matter how great the match is. If the crowd is a dud, it really pulls away from the match. But the crowd was into this. It was electric.
Boy, was Ricky over, eh?
Oh,
that crowd went insane when he came out. I was like, holy shit, that's almost as loud as when Hogan came out. God damn.
And I was a Steamboat fan back then. I liked Macho, but he hadn't elevated himself to one of my favorite wrestlers of all time yet. So, and as a kid, I was an easy mark for the baby faces.
Sure. Yeah.
I was such an easy mark for the baby faces. So I was kind of torn even when I watched this match originally. I liked both wrestlers, but yeah, just the electric atmosphere, even the presentation, like you're talking about the presentation of modern day WrestleMania, is that it's so much spectacle and glitz and glam. This, the crowd's in the dark, like literally in the dark, and focuses on the ring and the surrounding area, and breathless pace of it, the finish, like false finishes, and like there is no stop.
But the false finishes, there wasn't. So I was so impressed that most of the counts were just straight two counts. They actually weren't really false finishes. Like they were pinfall attempts that they were kicking out of.
Cause that's what I mean. Yeah.
I'm sick of false finishes. We have in modern wrestling, like you watch an AEW match and there'll be 57 false finishes in an FDR match. And I'm like, it's great. This match is awesome. But do we need that many 2.5 counts, 2¾ counts, 2 5/8 counts? Like I get a little tired of 1, 2, like I'm a little tired of that. Cause in this match, sometimes it's a 1 count or a 1.5 count, like just kick out of the move. I remembered it being a bunch of false finishes. I remember like lots of chain pins where this pin, he pulls him into this pin, he pulls him into this one.
Yeah.
But they were just kicking out right away. And I'm like, it actually felt like two guys struggling. It was a struggle, you know? I love that.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And I will say I misspoke. Yes, not a false finish, a pin attempt.
I'm here to set you straight. Don't worry.
But you're right. Like it had a natural organic pace and you could easily tell that they had gone over and planned this so meticulously because it was like German machinery. Oh, yeah. It was perfect. Like I think there might've been one stumble that Ricky took as he was going into a corner. Oh, well, you're human. That happens. Like
and that I didn't I have never noticed that. So if you spotted it, nice work. I've never noticed a stumble or anything.
It was like a minute stumble. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. But I mean, that is so minor. It doesn't take away from the enjoyment. Like, and Macho Man is so selfless in the ring. Like he has built his career on putting other people over.
Totally.
Because he doesn't win this match.
Nope.
He's got a legacy of Like, he's the one that gave Diamond Dallas Page his first big push. Yep. He's done this countless times where he knows the business. He knows what's good for the business. And he knows he can check his ego at the door that it's better if he loses this. And quite often it's the right call.
And oh my God, Dave Hebner killed it in that match. So you need to have great announcers. You need to have a great crowd. We've established that. But you need to have a great referee. Like, referees get ignored or forgotten about all the time in wrestling. And I think a referee makes the match sometimes. Dave Hebner in that match, unbelievable the work he did. The reprimanding he would do of Macho Man. The counts, his fall when he takes the bump in the corner. Like, the flop he does is just hysterical. Like, I thought Hebner did. And then the classic Grim Monsoon going, referee Dave Hebner doing a tremendous job. Jesse Ventura, I don't think so. Like, it's just, you know, it's so great. I loved everything about what the referee was doing. He worked just as hard as the wrestlers in that match. He was sweating his balls off at the end of that thing. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree. Because we call out refs all the time in modern day wrestling of like, this doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't they do this? It's perfect. And it was actually really nice that there was that commonality between this match and the one we're going to talk about after this, where it had the same announcers and it had the same ref, and it was clearly their A team.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was phenomenal.
There was one bump I had to rewind twice to watch again, because there was that stiff elbow that Macho gives Ricky, the short toss into the ropes, and Ricky bounced off the ropes and he caught him with the elbow. That was a real elbow right to the face. Like, I watched it three times and I'm like, oh, that is some stiff. Like, Ricky took that like a champ, because that was just getting your head knocked off by an elbow, which I know they still, like, occasionally nowadays you get that too. But back then it was a little more common for just, okay, the only way to make this look good, I'm just going to elbow your head off. It'll be fine. Don't worry. It'll be totally fine.
The only way to make this look real is to really do it. Yeah. Sorry, bud.
Some of those moves, Ricky tossing Macho Man over top of the rope, Macho Man doing that jump over the top and clothesline him on the top rope. Like, so many of these iconic moves, Macho going off the top rope down to the outside, giving the double axe handle, like his signature move. Just they basically did every move that you expect them to do, all of their signature moves, but nothing felt premeditated. Nothing felt boring or predictable. It just was a perfect flow. I've seen that match probably 300 times. I was saying the lines, but the announcers were saying before they would say them. And it just, I knew it'd be good, but there was a part of me that was like, it's been a long time. And I was hoping it wouldn't be cheesy, but God, what a good match that is. Like, seriously. Well,
and I think it's a testament to the performers too, that it didn't look rehearsed, right? Because there are matches where you watch and it's a really good match, but you can kind of tell that they're waiting for the next spot. Or like I said earlier, this just looked organic. Like, agreed. This looked completely flawless. Like, two men fighting for a championship and stealing the show.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And like, this stealing the show from Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. Like, Jesus Christ, that's a big deal, right? So my favorite line from the announcers, it makes me laugh every single time, and again, I rewound that one three times to just play it over and over again, is when Macho Man gets thrown over the top by the jump over clothesline, where he clotheslines him on the top rope, and Gorilla Monsoon goes, that could have been a disqualification. And Jesse goes, for what? And he's like, deliberate. And Jesse goes, deliberate? Of course it's deliberate. What do you think, he fell into it by accident? Such a great, like, on the cuff retaliation comment from a heel announcer. Just makes me laugh every single time. So, and the perfect finish, to have it in a body slam into a small package like that, I've never really seen that done before. And it seemed like the perfect way, because clearly Macho's exhausted at that point, because usually Macho Man's not going to get pinned in a small package. That's just not going to happen. But they've been wrestling for 30 minutes and he's exhausted and he's doing an offensive move. Ricky counters and then you're done. It was it's like literally the perfect way. It kind of comes out of nowhere. It's, if you don't know that it's coming, that doesn't seem like it's going to be the end of the match right there. It just kind of happens, boom, and it's done. So, love it. Great match. Yep. I'm glad it still is an awesome match. So,
yep, stood the test of time in spades.
So then we move to a polarizing match in the wrestling industry, because I hadn't seen it in 30 years, and people either love this match because they love the icons, or they hate this match. Well, I'll be honest, I used to hate this match. I'm saying used to because I don't want to spoil it. I used to hate this match. I was too young. I didn't really appreciate wrestling like I do now. So this was what, 1990, in our home country of Canada, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, in Sky Dome. That was a big deal that WrestleMania was in Sky Dome. I thought that was
huge. Huge deal.
Huge deal. Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior, two baby faces. So I remember thinking when I was a kid, well, that's two heroes. How, you know, who do you cheer for? Well, I never liked the Warrior. I'll be straight up honest. I was not one of the Warrior's fans. I never liked his gimmick. I liked his music. So, okay. But that was it. That was the end of it. I hated him running to the ring. I hated him running around the ring. I hated him shaking the ropes. I hated when he was in the ring, he'd do that skipping thing where he'd run. And I hated all of it. His signature move, the slam. And then why is he doing a splash? Like King Kong Bundy's huge and he's small. Like I didn't like anything about the Warrior. So him against Hogan was an easy, like, well, I'm cheering for Hulk Hogan. So right away, yeah, as a 16-year-old, I'm cheering Hulk Hogan. I was a bit of a Hulkamaniac. So do you remember how you felt about this match back in 1990? Do you remember seeing it in 1990?
To be honest with you, I don't remember a lot of this match because I did see it just short. I don't think I saw it live. I think I saw it, must have rented the WrestleMania when it came out on video and watched it then. I mean, as I just said previously, I was a huge mark for the baby faces and I ate up the Warrior. Like as an adult now, I don't appreciate him like I did through the rose colored glasses of my younger self, because he was just kind of that all bluster and no substance, right? Like he had that presence, but I remember not really who I was cheering for. But yeah, I agree. I was curious to see how it would pan out with two baby faces fighting each other, but assuming the Warrior would win because he was kind of the new toy. So he was clearly the one that was getting all the attention and the push. So yeah. So, and I haven't seen this match since that first time, so I had no idea what to expect.
Me either. So the match, the crowd was crazy, like absolutely insane. And I was impressed by how split it was, because each guy came out, like when Warrior came out, deafening, but there was some slight booing. And then when Hogan came out, it was deafening, but you could still hear there was some slight booing. I'm like, okay, that's a pretty much a split crowd. I was kind of impressed. And it looked like one of those crowds where it looked like people were piled on top of each other. Like nowadays in arenas, it's very much, you can see everyone in their seats and because it's very bright, but that crowd looked like everyone was just stacked on top of each other, like an ocean of humanity. It was just crazy. So I will say the match itself, it was better than I remembered. I can't say that I loved it. I'm not going to say that I love that match, but it was not nearly this disaster that I remembered. Because I remembered it being, like, I called it the worst wrestling match I'd ever seen. So I have to retract that, because it definitely is not that. It's having two baby faces is a risk, especially two baby faces that neither one of them is much of a technical wrestler. So you have two kind of brawling, muscle-bound guys. That was a risky move for them to do that.
This is not the wrestling clinic of Steamboat and Savage that we just watched.
So, of course, we had Dave Hebner again at referee. Thank goodness. So he did a good job. It was a very similar, I think he took the same bump and went down again, the same way he did against Macho Man.
I noted that too.
I was impressed at one point when Hogan was selling a knee injury. I don't think I'd seen him sell his back before, but I'd never seen him sell a limb ever in his entire career. So he got flipped outside the ring and I legit was like, oh, did he just actually hurt his knee? Because I was so surprised to see Hulk Hogan selling a body part. So I was really impressed by that. I was also like, it was so weird to watch Hulk Hogan going for pins, because if you think about his career, he was always fighting a big villain. The big villain was always beating the crap out of him. And his first pinfall attempt was always at the end. He would drop the leg and pin him. I don't think I'd ever seen him just pin someone for a two count. And he did it like 20 times in that match.
Mm-hmm.
I was really like, because there's no villain, right? He almost was kind of the villain, I found. Like the way he wrestled was more heel than the way the Warrior wrestled.
Yep.
I found little, like some back scratches he did. And because he's a little rougher in the ring than the Warrior. He has a much larger moveset than the Warrior as well. The Warrior really has no moves other than clotheslines and whatever.
Power moves. Yeah.
So, but it was neat to watch Hogan wrestle totally different. And I don't remember that at all. I have written down here, Hogan is wrestling with an exclamation point, because like that just wasn't something that I ever saw. I saw Hogan get beat up and then Hulk out and win. That was the Hulk Hogan wrestling match almost every single
time. I thought they were really clever in how they orchestrated this match too, and that it was kind of almost that anything you can do, I can do better kind of thing, because it really was supposed to signify that changing of the guard, right?
Yeah.
You know, one guy would do a power move. Well, then the other guy would do the power move, or that iconic, you know, where they braced in the middle of the ring and then they went shoulder to shoulder to see who was the strongest. So I thought they did a really good job of balancing that out, because you're right, that crowd was split, but they really did cater to both sides of the audience too. Like, they gave each set of fans that moment or those moments to cheer for.
Well, and both guys got a moment where they went for a pinfall and the ref was out.
Yes.
Did you notice that? So they both had they're pounding 1, 2, 3, where the, and then Jesse actually goes, well, Monsoon, I guess it's a 2 out of 3 falls, because they both have a pinfall. I'm like, yeah, good job, Jesse. Like, way to spot that. Like, that was a perfect moment call, because that was, again, gave both fans a chance to be excited and then mad that their guy didn't get the win.
And then it took away that, like, oh, well, he could have won. Because I will admit that, knowing the reputation that Hulk Hogan has of not wanting to lose clean a lot of times, as soon as he started selling that knee, I was thinking, like, oh, here we go. This is the reason he loses. Not beat clean. It's because he's got a hurt knee. But that wasn't the case.
No, and that finish surprised. I did not remember that that's how the match ended. I did not remember that he missed the leg drop. I don't remember him ever missing the leg drop. I've seen people kick out of the leg drop. I don't remember him ever missing it. I think that might be the only time. So that's probably why he got his second spinal fusion, was that leg drop, because that was a solid. I watched his ass hit the ring. I'm like, well, Jesus, Hulk, stop doing that, man. Jesus.
Yeah.
So, but then the pin came out of nowhere, just like the Macho Man match. That pin surprised me. It was suddenly he was hooking him up. And then Hogan actually tried. You never see kickouts on pinfalls where they try to kick out and they don't make it. But he tried to kick out. It didn't work. And then the controversy at the end of that match, I don't know if you know this or not. Hogan wanted to heel turn that.
Oh, really?
So he was pitching it to Vince so hard. So the Hollywood Hulk Hogan idea that happened in WCW, Hogan had that idea 10 years before that. And he wanted to do it that night. He wanted to lose to the Warrior, leave the ring, start walking up the ramp. Then he wanted to turn around with a look in his eye, come back with a chair. Warrior's not looking, smash him with the chair, smash him, smash him, smash him until the crowd is crying, and then leave the ring. So that was supposed to happen. And I think that really, that would have cemented that moment as an iconic WrestleMania moment. Because that match was fine, was decent. But if he heel turned there, like Hulk Hogan heel turning, but Vince was too, he said no one would ever buy Hogan as a heel, which clearly that's not true, because that was one of the biggest things that ever happened in wrestling, was when he
healed. And timing is everything. So was it the right time? Hard to say, because we're not in that moment right now. But yeah, clearly it worked eventually, if it wouldn't have worked then. But I agree. I think that would have made it an even more, I mean, it was already iconic, because you had two, like him or not, Warrior is a legend of the industry,
course.
Right?
Of course.
So it's remembered for that. But yeah, if it would add that really interesting layer to the legacy of that match, if that's where he turned heel.
And if you watch Hogan, if you watch Hogan at the end of that match, he kind of has that look on his face. There's a little bit of like disappointment, and also he looks a little pissed. And I'm like, oh man, that would have been so sweet. But it was a better match than I expected. So I'm relieved that it actually wasn't terrible. I could have done without that long bear hug. I'm glad that's something that old school wrestling had that I'm glad is gone, is these bear hugs that make no sense. They used to do them in wrestling all the time, where one guy's just hugging the other guy, and for some reason the other guy doesn't want to get out of it. He's just gonna fall asleep.
Like, they're just resting.
It never makes any sense that they're just like, they're chest to chest, nose to nose, but my arms don't work anymore. I can't punch you. I can't. Why don't I just like slam you or something? Nowadays, it would be the Brock Lesnar. It would just be a suplex, right?
But
those old bear hugs, unless it was Andre the Giant that was doing it, it never made sense if a smaller guy was doing a bear hug. It's like, what are you doing? So I could have done, that was a long bear hug. It went on for like 10 minutes. So
I felt like all those spots were just to kind of pace the Warrior, because he's very much known for blowing up up early as far as, and I thought that was really smart too, where they had him come out first.
Yeah.
Because what does he do? He comes out, he runs, and then his shtick was the match would be 3 minutes because he couldn't really last any
Right?
longer because he blew his cardio early. So I thought it was really smart that he was the first one out and that Hogan, and Jesse even said, like,
Jesse
oh, you
said
look
it.
At this. Hogan's taking his time getting there. Yep. Like, I've been here. And I was like, yeah, that's smart. And I thought, and it's giving the Warrior a chance to catch his breath.
He called it when the Warrior came out. He said, he shouldn't be running out here, Monsoon.
Yes.
He's burning himself out. He said it right away. So,
yeah.
Because he had a reputation. You're right. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I thought the pacing of it, like, is it a match I need to see again anytime soon? No, but it was fun to revisit it. And I wouldn't be against watching it again in the future. It's just not iconic for the in-ring action per se. It's just what it represents more
exactly.
than anything.
Exactly. So I'd say we're 2 for 2 so far on WrestleMania matches. Not disappointing. Next episode, we're going to do from WrestleMania 13, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bret the Hitman Hart. And we'll do
My
from...
boy!
And we'll do from WrestleMania 25, The Undertaker and the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. So those will be our next two matches. And if you want to watch those and follow along with us, you can. It's going to be great. So, yeah.
And let us know what you thought of these matches, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I already had some feedback online. Somebody was wanting to find out which ones we were going to watch and make sure they could... I actually helped them find the feeds so they could check them out. So,
look at you being all helpful.
I won't say where because, you know, they weren't legitimate, but, you know, hey, some people, we gotta help wrestlers, fans watch wrestling. It can't all be legitimate. Let's go. Come on.
Exactly.
So, I guess pushes, tap outs, and then we can get the hell out of here, Paul. I'm going to start with tap outs. I got none 2 weeks in a row. So, I'm not tapping anything out except for Kushida's hair, but it's just been a great couple weeks of wrestling. I'm loving wrestling right now, and I'm just, nothing's bothering me right now at all. CM Punk is out. It's every week I'm just laughing. Things are great. Things can't get better. So yeah.
Nice.
Do you have any tap outs?
I've only got one minor tap out that I've noticed kind of creeping into a lot of matches lately, and it's kind of the long setups for like a finisher move or even just a follow-up move where a wrestler will essentially stun their opponent. And then they'll go run into the ropes to come back and do a move, but they'll leave their opponent in a really kind of awkward, kind of bent over position that doesn't look natural. And I don't know. It just strikes me as odd. Like if there was a quicker follow-up, you wouldn't notice it. But when Kira Hogan's standing in the middle of the ring, hunched over, you're thinking, well, I don't think this is going as well as it probably could have. But
gotcha.
Just such a minor thing that whatever, it's just more of a wrestling style than anything that I don't love that, but yeah.
Actually, you've just inspired me to mention something else. So there is something else I'm going to tap out on.
I knew I could get you to commit to a tap out.
I'm getting tired of wrestlers moving themselves into position for moves coming off the top rope. So if I'm punching you and you go down and I'm going to do, and we know I'm doing a moonsault, it's my job as the offensive wrestler to grab your arms and legs and drag you over to where I want you to be and then kick you and punch you and then go up and do the move. But that's not what happens now. Like in all promotions, it doesn't matter which one you're watching. They'll punch the guy, they'll go down. And as the guy's going to the ropes, the guy down goes, oh shit, I'm not in the right spot. And then you watch them kind of crawl over and get in position. And they got to stop doing that. It takes me out of the moment like so bad when I see the wrestler look around and go, oh, I'm in the wrong spot and slide over. It can't look like you're working together, even though you are working together. Don't let on to us that you're working together. It just takes me out of it every single time. So, yeah, that's a minor tap out that I see, not in just one place. It's all over the place.
So who's your push then?
Got a couple pushes. Bayley. Bayley is just a treasure. She's getting her WrestleMania that I think she deserves. She won the Royal Rumble. She's going to be challenging for a belt. She's challenging Io Sky, my girl. So, but you know what? You got to put people over. I think Bayley should win the title at Mania. I think she's had a great career. She's such an entertaining performer. She's the R-Truth of the women's division. She's so funny and entertaining, but she's also just a good, gritty wrestler. She doesn't look like your stereotypical wrestler. She doesn't act like your stereotypical wrestler. It's all the things I like about her. She's just doing so great. So, and she was a heel that the fans just embraced at the Royal Rumble. And now I don't know if this was a natural face turn. I like to think it happened because of the way the crowd was, but it might have been what they were planning anyway, since they've kind of been planting the seeds that there was trouble in the faction for months. So, but it's just been wonderful to watch. So Bailey doing great. And I can't believe I have The Rock's name written down in my pushes in 2024, but I have The Rock's name written down because good Lord, man, like he needs any more push. But Dwayne Johnson, I was worried about him. I was worried that he wouldn't remember how to do it, that it wouldn't feel natural for him because he's been, you know, he's been doing totally different things for decades. Like he hasn't been a professional wrestler regularly for 20 years. That's a ridiculous amount of time to be away. Now, I don't know if he can still wrestle as far as like going 15, 20 minutes. I have no idea. So if they put him in a match at Mania, it'll be a tag match and you got to give him some help. He'll blow a tire for sure. But put a mic in his hand. Good Lord. He can just entertain, take over the crowd, do whatever he wants. He's the most captivating superstar out there. So somehow Dwayne The Rock Johnson is getting one of my pushes. So
nice.
The biggest star in the world doesn't need it, but he gets it anyway. What do you got?
Well, I've got one really simple one, and this is kind of a throwback too. This is, I mean, in addition to wrestling, I'm a huge Chicago Bears fan. And Steve Mongo McMichael used to play for my Bears. He was one of my favorite players.
Ah, yes.
He's really been struggling with ALS recently, and he's actually
really
had
bad,
a
yeah.
blood transfusion, and he's on the rebound. So, you know, while he's still, you know, with us, I'd love to give him a shout out to, I mean, I wasn't the hugest fan of his wrestling, but he was a four horseman. You can't take that away from him.
You can never take that away from him.
Yeah.
Steve I have,
Mongo
yeah.
McMichael, you are my push.
We hope the things turn around for him health wise because yeah, that's terrible what he's going through. I was never the biggest fan of him in the ring either. You know, he was a football player that became a wrestler, so that's not an easy transition. But he had great personality and he was a great football player. And I hope him. Yeah, I wish him well. Okay, well, it's time to wrap things up. Huge thanks to all the listeners that joined us this week. Don't forget to subscribe and download the episode in your podcast app of choice. Every little bit helps us. Spotify users, you can now interact directly with the podcast in-app as we add Q&As and polls for every episode, so check those out. And we even try and read out your responses, so let us have them. And you can now reach the podcast on Instagram at MurderGymnasticsPod. I try and post daily, so pop on over for fun memes, pics, and videos. And of course, Paul, if people got nothing going on, what should they do?
Go watch some wrestling. Yeah!